Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Wake Up Hollywood with Nikki Kalula and Eddie Pence, right here on LA Talk Radio.
Up Hollywood. Yeah! Let's get this thing going. Special guest co-host Alex Dominguez, right?
Yeah. What's up?
I wanted to make sure. I was like, dude, get the right Hispanic name in there. If you don't, dude, you're
That's
just
going to
look at you funny.
As long as you get my first name right. I don't care what you call me after that.
Dude, Alex, thank you for joining us.
Are you kidding? Thank you for having me yet again.
Dude, we love you, man. You're a part of the family.
Thank you. Every time you call, I'm like that girl waiting for that guy to call. I'm like, oh my God, he called me.
But you
he
know what?
You to come over.
You played it really cool. You're like, let me check. Yeah. And I was like, really? Are you sure?
Oh, dude, I'm like, yeah, I'm gonna check it out. I'm going to make him wait a few minutes.
And I was like, no.
I'm just going to let him know he can't just call me whenever he wants.
Yeah, I want to know that you're not available all the time to do this. Dude, how was your week? I haven't seen you in a couple weeks.
So. I just got back from Chicago yesterday.
Chicago. I love
it's
it.
Okay,
you have some
man.
Deep dish?
Yes, I did. And,
That's it. Yeah. That's all you got to say about that.
You know what?
Where did you go?
Oh, my gosh. It was called Pequod's.
No, I don't. Never heard of that place, man.
It's like rated like one of the best deep dishes in
really
Chicago.
You know, there's two or three places. There, I always hear about Lumanati's.
Okay,
and then there's another place named Gino's, and then there's another place called Giordano's. Giordano's is the shit.
Really,
Lumanati's is okay, and dude, Gino's. I've been there twice, 12 years apart. Terrible pizza.
Really,
it's shitty deep dish pizza.
Yeah, our Uber driver recommended Pequod's.
Pequod's.
Like, you got to go to Pequod's.
Did you go to that little that rooftop with all the weird looking museum pieces? Have you seen those?
No, I haven't seen that. I was there. I was in town. Literally, like I flew in for a wedding, and we spent a couple days in the Quad City, where my girlfriend's family lives, and then we drove into Chicago for the wedding, and then we had just one day to try to pack as
everything.
Much stuff as I could possibly pack in.
So what did you do when you were there?
We went to the LA, not LA Zoo, the Chicago.
You went to the LA Zoo.
I went to the LA
Chicago?
Zoo in Chicago.
That's amazing.
It's a lot of fake animals there, mostly plastic.
They're so preppy there.
But no, it was fun. We went to the zoo. It's free, and we just walked around. It was really cold, which I love Chicago.
Windy City, man.
I love Chicago. It was it's one of my favorite cities to visit. I wouldn't want to live there because at this time of the year, it's depressing.
It's gnarly. I mean, yeah. I actually, the first time I went there was late October. This was when I think I was in middle school. And I just remember it was the wind chill. It wasn't super windy, but I noticed they had all those, like, you know, the revolving doors in every building. And just the wind chill was enough for me to be like, thank God I live in LA because I don't know how people do it.
Yeah, it cuts like, it's like glass. It's like little shards of glass hitting you in the face.
Yeah, and like even walking around the block, you're like, oh my God. But you know what? I think LA makes us all wimps though. LA makes the weather so nice and pleasurable that even like a little bit of like a little puff of wind, we're like, oh my God, it's good. The world is ending.
But that's why we live here.
That's true.
If I wanted to be cold, I'd move
Dude,
somewhere
in Minnesota,
else.
I saw that it's snowing so hardcore that like trucks are swerving all over the road. And then the weird thing was, they were like, and by the way, schools will still be in session. I'm like, Jesus, how do kids go to school like that?
Get on the bus, kids.
Yeah, it's like,
good luck.
It's like, pray for your lives. It's all going downhill from here.
You got Otto, the bus driver. Hey, kids. Come on, it's going to be cool.
My dad always raves about the Chicago dog, which I've never had in Chicago. Did you have a Chicago dog?
I did. And that was, they steam their hot dogs there.
And it's cucumbers, right? Isn't there, aren't there cucumbers on the Chicago dogs?
Maybe. I didn't have one. I just had mustard.
Okay.
I'm
okay.
A wimp like that.
No, that's all right. <It's good. laughs> Just like the weather.
It's a sausage. It's a Polish sausage. I also got a chance to go to Second City.
Oh, yeah.
Watch a show there. And
Harold Ramis came from there, right?
Yeah. Bill Murray, my God. Everybody. Too, right? Bill Murray, Harold Ramis, Chevy Chase, Tina Fey.
Wow.
Anybody who basically in the sketch world, Saturday Night Live guys, Chris Farley, they all come from Second City, Chicago.
That and the Groundlings, right? Those are like
and the Groundlings, yeah. But I think Second City's been around for like since 50, the 60s years, or something Yeah. Harold Ramis.
Did you see shows or did you see?
I did. I got to watch a show.
Be honest, how was it?
It was really good.
Really?
Yeah.
You're
like,
these guys are badass.
Well, I mean, look, my girlfriend and I were having this discussion. We're like, oh, you know, like shows in LA are, some of them may not be the greatest. And, you know, right. Like sketch, because kids that take sketch and improv here in LA, it's because, oh, you know, if I get in there, I might get noticed and there's casting directors.
Of course.
I might hook up with the right people. People who do sketch in Chicago,
they're just doing it for the love.
They do because they want to do sketch. This is what they want to do. It's not about being, I mean, obviously you want to be noticed someday, but these guys.
Well, plus the talent that comes out of those schools, especially when there's a reputation.
Yeah.
You know, the talent that wants to go to those schools is big. And then you're around so many talented people that you just get better, like iron sharpens iron.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Was there anybody that you were like, they're okay? There had to have been one. There's always like one or two that you're like,
okay, I hate to admit it, but it's
there we go. Let's get the good stuff.
It was the Cuban guy.
The Cuban guy. The Cubano.
Well, the funny thing is, I'm Cuban, so I'm rooting for him. I'm like, all right. Oh, my God. There's a Cuban guy in the, you know, Second City like touring company.
You were like, I could take that chachi motherfucker.
And he was kind of like, meh. I was like, oh, dude, you're disappointing.
You're like, dude, I could take him. I could take him.
Don't tell anybody you're Cuban. Better yet, I won't tell anybody I'm Cuban.
I'm always like that too. There's always a part of me when I see like a show where I'm like, first I'm inspired, and then part of me is like, I can take him.
Yeah,
I can do that. I can do that shit. But you know what? It's like part of it is just embracing it and just admiring that they're up there doing what they do, and it's fun. And it makes you want to be a part of it. It makes you want to be better. That's awesome.
Yeah, these guys are pros.
Is it snowing in Chicago right now?
No, it wasn't when I left.
Okay,
it was kind of cold. It's supposed to drop like today. Like so, I just missed the.
And then you come back to LA and it's just like, it's 85 degrees.
Oh, it's so cloudy. I can't go out today. It's terrible.
When it rains, everybody's just like, oh my God, the apocalypse. Oh, geez. That's LA, dude. That's LA. Well, real quick, I want to tell you a really awesome story. I actually ran into Brian May from Queen, the guitarist, which was amazing.
I love Queen.
Me too. And, you know, I actually was eating pizza next to him. And I was talking to my girlfriend. I said, you know what? I think Brian May is standing right behind you. And she's like, that's not him. That's not him. And I was like, you know Brian May's got that hair. It's he has not changed his hairstyle since like 1965.
None of those guys have.
Yeah, yeah. And it just looks white, you know? So I'm like, it's definitely Brian May. I know that's Brian May. So I actually ran to my car because when I recorded this record in 2012 on the title track, on the out of the guitar solo, we did a Brian May like harmony. Just a real quick little nod to him, just saying, dude, Brian May, you're the shit, you know? And Brian May is actually my lead guitarist, one of his favorite guitarists. So when he was getting up to leave, I walked up to him and I was like, hey, I just wanted to tell you, I'm a diehard fan of Queen. I'm a huge fan of your playing. And on my record, and I pulled out my record, I was like, I actually did a little tribute to you on the, you know, I was like, track 5 on the out part of the guitar. And he's probably like, okay, kid. But the coolest thing, he put out his hand. He's like, well, I'm honored. Thank you. And he grabbed the CD and he was like, I'll totally listen to it. And I was like, cool. So one of the things I want to do, I want to play the song that is reminiscent of the, you know, Brian May's influence just on the guitar solo. It's a totally different song than what Queen would do, you know, but on the guitar solo on the out. It's very Brian May influence. This is Music of the New Day, the title track.
floating down a river, searching for my shore, searching for my shore. Looking for the signs, trying to toe the line, only wasting time. Oh, cause I love you, I love you. Telling me which way to go, which road will take me home. Yes, I love you, I love you. Telling me, yeah, which way to go, which road will take me home. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Listening to melody in my eye, leaving us to find. You're keeping us alive, hoping we will shine, shine. You'll shine above. No, 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 no. Cause I love you, I love you. Show me which path is right. Keep us safe tonight. Yes, I love you, I love you. Show me, yeah, which path is right. Keep us safe tonight. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Open up your eyes and see the music of a new. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Break down your own lecture, and all I'm saying, yeah, we're gonna do what we're gonna do. Whoa, yeah, we're gonna do what we're gonna do, yeah, 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 yeah. We're gonna do what we're gonna do. Jam music, your song is etched in time. We're singing for mankind. Say we're dancing to the rhythm. You give the gift of life. We give you love, 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 love. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day. Yeah, 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 yeah. Open up your eyes, open up your eyes and see the music of a new day.
Studio audience digs it. I like that. So, you know, I think our special guest for the evening just walked in. Mr. Christopher Ray, how are you?
Doing great, brother. How are you doing?
You like that entrance?
I love the entrance. I hit the doorbell and it rang. I love it.
You can't miss it, right?
You can't miss it.
So Christopher Ray and I, we actually met at a music conference maybe about 6 years ago.
No, dude, longer than that. It was before, I think we met before I even moved here. I think I was like 6 months prior to me moving to Los Angeles. Oh, wow. So it was actually about 8.5 years ago.
Dude, Alex, this is one of the coolest cats I've met, man. And it's like, as soon as we met, we were like, dude, we're going to be buds. Like, he's a badass musician. He's a badass jazz guitarist.
Oh, you're
He's all the way from Oklahoma, right?
From Oklahoma.
What city in Oklahoma are you from?
A small town called Altus, Oklahoma.
I've never heard about it. You looked like you were like, I know Altus.
No, I know the musical. I know the musical. I don't know Altus.
The musical Altus.
The musical Altus.
Altus. So, Chris, let's just jump right into it. So tell us, how did you get into music? Like, I know some of your story, but one of the things I love about bringing some of my friends on the shows, it's like, man, there's so many parts of your story I don't know. So
yeah, sure.
So tell us how you got into music. Tell us what was the first thing that made you want to be a musician. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Man, I come from a musical family. My dad was like in a band when I was growing up. He's an incredible singer, and my aunt has a beautiful voice as well, and she plays piano really well.
Did you grow up in the Partridge Family?
It was the Partridge Family. That's actually my last name. I changed it to Ray because I thought it sounded cooler. So I was in music, I think it was in sixth grade. That's whenever our middle school started. It was from sixth and seventh, and then junior high was eighth and ninth, and then high school was, 10th to 12th. But my music teacher was named Miss Cox, and she was unbelievable. And I have to really say that it was through that program that really ignited that flame and passion for music in me. And she did nothing but stoke it and always made me feel like I could do it for a living, even though I was 13 years old.
And did she start you with like gospel, like folk?
No, we were singing. No, it was like a straight up choir class. I was really lucky though, because in the seventh grade, whenever I was about to, bump up to the next grade, we were leaving schools, which meant that she was no longer going to be our teacher. And she moved whenever we moved to the next school, and her husband helped out as well, who was an incredible music teacher. So yeah, no, it was awesome.
That's incredible.
Now you said your dad was in a band. Did you guys ever like play together as a family?
We did. Well, my dad, like, what do they call them? Like talent show type deals, you know,
whatever. Your backup band.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, my dad would sing with me and
he's like, Chris, I got this.
He's jerking the mic out of my hands. Yeah.
Did he ever treat you like Beyonce's dad? Like shuttle you from mall to mall and have you sing
in the courtyard? My parents were so cool. They never really, they always made me feel encouraged in what I was doing, but they really didn't push me in any direction. I mean, I remember, like, I'm from a small town in Oklahoma. Everybody plays football. Everybody.
Right. That's what you do in the South.
It's what you do. Yeah. And I remember one day I came home from practice and I was just like, Dad, this sucks. I was like, I don't get it. Like, I'm hot. They don't give you water. It's like I'm running all the time. I don't have fun at the games. And he was just like, well, then don't do it anymore, And that's just the way that they were. They always wanted to just encourage what I wanted to do.
And you're like, I'm probably going to lose all my friends. Yeah. Like, guys, I don't want to do this anymore.
Like, wait, does everybody play football? Like, is it, everybody has to go out for the team? Is that mandatory in Oklahoma?
No, it's not mandatory. But, I mean, let me just put it this way. Very, very few kids don't at least you know, play football in middle school or, right. you know, you always start off.
I played football yeah. in middle school.
Yeah, see, yeah. you guys were probably, you probably had similar childhoods.
Exactly. Exact same childhood.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex never got the guitar in him, though. He was like, I'm going to stick this out. I'm Cubano. I got to play baseball or football. I got to do one of the two.
Yeah, that's the thing. My dad's like, well, you got to either learn how to box or cause some of the best fighters are Cubans.
Or you got to make a good sandwich.
So I decided to start telling jokes because I couldn't do any of that other stuff.
There you go.
So did you start with guitar, Chris? Did you start
with clarinet?
Let's
what?
Get the real stuff.
Okay,
did you start with the recorder?
The embarrassing stuff.
Yeah, let's get
the
good stuff.
No, I started with harmonica, actually.
Oh, wow.
And I had a buddy named Justin Williams who was in our sixth grade music class who played guitar. Our music teacher, Ms. Cox, would just let us go into a little practice room for the like first 15 or 20 minutes of class. And just jam, just like by ourselves.
That's awesome.
And I just remember that feeling. Do you remember that feeling, dude?
Yeah,
like
dude.
The first time you're
it's
making
like,
music
oh my
with
God,
somebody
this
else.
Is the most incredible thing ever.
It's unbelievable. Yeah. I mean, you still get tastes of it now, but man, when you're like those first ones.
Because it's so big.
Oh my gosh.
It's such a big helping of that.
It was,
feeling.
Yeah, no, it was incredible. So harmonica was what started it off. When I was like 15 or so, I started playing guitar. And then I just my whole life derailed from there.
And I know you started playing jazz. You're a big jazz musician
yeah.
for a long time.
Right? Yes, yeah.
Aren't you in the Oklahoma like Hall of Fame?
Something like that. Like,
hey,
got,
look at him, so modest, like, something like that. Yeah,
no,
maybe in the Hall of Fame.
No. It was like we received like an award from the Oklahoma Jazz Hall of Fame, which was a really big honor.
I didn't realize that Oklahoma had such a big jazz scene.
Oh, dude, big time.
Really?
Charlie Christian. I think Barney Kessel is from Oklahoma as well.
Oh, my God. He's one of my favorites,
I mean,
dude.
So many. I mean, I'm just like named. Those are like two people. There are a ton of people from.
And you mentioned jazz guitarists, so it must be huge for jazz guitar.
Yeah, well, you know, I don't really know what's going on there scene-wise now. I mean, the indie thing was like getting really big when I was graduating college. There were a lot of indie bands that were coming up. That were doing pretty well.
And I know you moved to L.A.,
mm-hmm.
and that's a big change, just coming from Oklahoma
yes.
to Los Angeles.
Yeah. No, it was another world.
And about 4 years ago, you actually released an A-Sides album, right?
Yeah,
with
I did.
With Mike Feingold, who plays with Erykah Badu, right?
Yeah. I don't know if he's playing with her still, but he played with her for a long time. He's kind of played with everybody in soul R&B world.
And you actually recorded with Questlove and Pino Palladino
yes.
as your rhythm section.
Yes, yeah.
Which is like the dream rhythm section.
No, it was
man.
Incredible. It was incredible. And I have to credit like that Mike did all that. I mean, he set all that up. He's played with those guys for a long time in a lot of different contexts. And he sent the stuff to Questlove.
You must have been like just shitting your pants a little bit. Like,
I was. Well, see, here's the thing. I wasn't in the session with Quest because he was cutting it at the 30 Rock Studios, and then he sent us the tracks. But we did the Pino session while he was in town. And,
wow.
Dude, it was a freaking education. Like, I love that guy. He was so sweet, so humble.
Great player. He's like,
I mean, on another
such a
level.
Great dude.
But, like,
yeah.
watching it was weird because watching him do it. I learned a lot from it. It was a great experience.
You're like, I think I just died and went to
yeah, yeah.
went to
sweet.
Exactly.
Yeah,
exactly.
And for those that like aren't aware of Pino's vast musical genius,
He plays with everybody.
Yeah, no, my favorite. I mean, he plays with the Who now. He's in the Who, and
he played with John Mayer.
Yeah,
for a
yeah.
while.
He did that trio record with him, right?
Yep.
But the stuff he did on D'Angelo's Voodoo record was kind of the stuff
the
that
best.
Absolutely freaked me out.
It's. I think for bass players, it's like this is what you need to listen to for bass playing. This
forever.
Is James Jamerson. Yeah, yeah.
Listen to this forever. Yeah. No.
Well, let's just jump into one of your live performances real quick. What are you going to play
yeah,
us
okay.
first?
Cool. Let's do it. Do you want really sad and depressing or really sad and depressing?
I want really sad and depressing.
All right. Well, actually, I've got one. We'll do one. Let's do. You know, usually you like to leave them up and happy. Let's just completely flip that. I'll
Dude,
do the.
Yeah. Oh
I'll
yeah.
Do the one
I want people crying.
I'll do the one
like,
that's a little bit more. You know, a little bit more jovial up front. So let me grab my guitar.
Okay. Cool. This is Christopher Ray, and you're playing. I know you have a record with a band called Shades of Jackson. We're going to talk more about that.
Yeah. And this is from the Shades of Jackson album, The Days After, and the song is called A Little While.
All right, here it goes.
I'm a little out of tune. Is it appropriate to tune just real quick while we're? I know we're
really.
I know we're.
Oh, studio edit's not a fan.
Here's a nice piece of shit.
Monkeying around over there.
My oh my, wait till old man Clemens realizes it's a bag of shit.
He's gonna shit when he realizes it's shit. Who got the lighter?
Wow.
Brilliant.
We covered the tuning process.
I'm so glad that now, like, I can say that while I was tuning Adam Sandler, Billy Madison style.
They just came into the studio real quick. All right, here's a little while with Christopher Ray.
You don't know what it takes to walk away. When I know that I could stay, you're better off alone, it's true. All your friends think I'm bad news. At least now you don't have to choose. It's okay if you feel a bit rejected. I would break your heart. I would lead you further away. I would take everything that kept you safe. I could count all the times you said to me, will this last or will this be a momentary burst of light for the universe to see with a cosmic eulogy? Well, now I know, and I think I should be honest. I would break your heart. I would lead you further away. I would take everything that kept you safe. I would break your heart. You'd be waiting and I'd never call. Say goodbye before you have a chance to fall. Before I go and take it all.
Very, very, very nice. Man. Oh, studio audience, double applause.
There you go. That's very lovely.
That's a first. Is that a first?
Double applause.
I love it.
Oh, sit down. Sit down, everybody. Take your seat. Sit down.
They want more. They want more.
Panties and bras are flying everywhere.
Oh, jeez.
Okay.
We can stop him on a dime, too. You like that? Silence!
I don't know, but I'm swooning over here. I don't know about you. Oh, I mean,
no. Dude, you know, you said that was so depressing, but, dude, I was lost in the folky, cool
oh, thanks, dude.
Vibe, man. It was beautiful.
And I know people at home can't see him, but he's a handsome-looking guy.
Oh, no, you're
good-looking guy.
It's kind of weird that my co-host is dry-humping his leg right now. But
hey, he's got this burly, sensitive look to him. That's really
I appreciate
nice.
That.
He's a good dude. All the way around, man. All the way around.
Oh, you guys are going to make me never want to leave.
So you did this soul record, right?
Yeah, yes, yes.
And then you decided to do something completely different, and you're starting to do like an Americana country.
Yeah, this is like just I really realized a couple years ago that the key to me staying like fired up about music and inspired is to jump around to different projects, different genres. I'm doing some track work right now for different artists, one being Paris Carney, who you just had her brother on your show.
Yeah, I just had Zane Carney on.
And she's incredibly talented. I remember I saw her a few years ago, and I was just like, man, this girl is she's going places.
She's burning, man. She actually sat in with Zane last week at Hotel Cafe.
She is so incredible. And her husband, Greg, is an amazing guy and also an incredible producer and songwriter and bass player in his own right. But yeah, I do stuff like that. I work for a film composer named James Newton Howard, who is, you know, I think, in my opinion, a legend in film scoring.
Oh, yeah. He's doing The Hunger Games.
Yeah.
He did the first two, and he's doing the third one,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, the premiere is on Monday.
And he's done some other movies that you wanted to talk about, too. He did The Way, Way Back.
No. That's another guy. James has done tons of stuff. He's done over like 150 movies. His genius is well documented. He's an incredible composer.
That must be pretty intimidating to work around.
Well, man, it would be if he wasn't so cool. I mean, he's such a good guy. treats everybody with a really high level of respect. I mean, it's kind of the complete opposite of a lot of people's stories out here,
right?
Kind of in that world. He's a great dude. But no, the films you were talking about, I also do some work with a couple of other composers, one of them being a guy named Rob Simonson, who's one of my best buds out here and also an incredibly talented film composer. And I've been lucky enough to play a bunch of instruments and do sound design for his film.
And just for our listeners, like, what are all the instruments that you play now? Besides harmonica.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
And the guitar.
Yes, thank you.
So the main ones, kind of like my main instrument has become pedal steel guitar. That's kind of become my main instrument. That's what I book most sessions on whenever I do session work. Lap steel as well. Guitar, bass, mandolin. I do like key and synth work, but only at home. Like, I'm not going to like show up to a studio and be like,
I'm ready to burn on the keys.
Let's do it. No. But yeah, that's kind of it. That gets me around.
That's awesome. Pedal steel is like one of my favorite instruments.
Me too.
Dude,
it's an addiction. Don't start.
Dude, I don't know if I could, because honestly, one, it's pretty complicated to play.
It is.
But two, it's like the sound. Man, I probably would lock myself in a dungeon, never walk out.
That's basically what I've done. All right,
for those that might be listening, not me.
Of course.
Of course, I know, just in case people out there didn't know.
Yes.
What is a steel pedal guitar?
Okay, the pedal steel guitar. You've probably seen them before. They're most prominent in like country western music.
Okay,
but they look like they sit on legs. It's kind of like a table type thing.
Oh, okay.
And you play it with your hands on top, and you have a bar that slides.
Much like
on
a
the
woman,
strings.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding.
Zing. But you use pedals. And
a little late, but it's still
a little late. It's still good though. It's showing up a lot though in other forms of music and other genres. Actually, I can kind of credit Mike for getting me into it indirectly, because for the A-Sides record, he had a guy named Dave Easley who plays with Brian Blade and the Fellowship.
Oh, yeah.
To play steel on my record A-Sides. And when I heard the way that he approached the instrument, I was just kind of like, whoa, you can
this
do that
incredible.
With it?
Yeah.
So that
was... It's like
was,
a violin almost.
Yeah,
like
no, it is.
Sustained that's, tones.
Yeah, no, the sustained thing, you're right. So that's what got me into it, yeah.
Awesome. So you started this band, Shades of Jackson. Tell us who's in the band. Tell us what got you involved.
Sure. So I have some buddies. I met a guy named James McAllister when I was on tour with an artist named Graham Colton. I was backing him up on pedal steel. And we met in Seattle, and James is from Oklahoma as well. There's like a big Oklahoma connection with this whole project.
That's
but,
awesome.
Yeah, James plays for an artist named Sufjan Stevens, as well as a lot of other guys. But Sufjan, he's been playing with him for like 10-plus years.
He did the record Illinois, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I called James, and I said, dude, can you fly to Oklahoma on these dates? I want to do this record. I wrote these songs, and I want you to play on it, because James is one of the most creative drummers I've ever been around. And he said, yeah, let's do it. And then right at that same time, John Spiker, who I met before I even moved out to Los Angeles at my first session out here, where I completely got destroyed, which is a story for another time. John Spiker just got off the road with Tenacious D. He's their bass player.
Oh, okay.
So I said, dude, can you fly out to Oklahoma and do this record? And he said, yeah, let's do it. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, the three of us went to Oklahoma, and we did it at Blackwatch Studios in Norman, which is like my happy place. I freaking love that studio.
Wow.
Chad Copeland and Jared Evans engineered and played on it, and then I also had some guys when I came back to LA. I did some overdubs with a guy named John Sawson on mandolin, and banjo and a couple of other things. So yeah, that's the band.
That's awesome. Well, let's play a track from it now.
Okay,
that we're
cool.
Talking about
yeah,
it.
Yeah.
We're gonna play a track called Cross That Line. It's the first track off the record, Shades of Jackson, The Days After. Here it comes.
Devils in the details, he showed up right around midnight. That was right around the time that I gave up. You can never be friends when you used to be lovers, even if you got a new love. Of this I'm pretty damn sure that my daddy was right. You don't wanna stay here tonight. It's saying something else with your eyes. 'Cause you won't ever, ever cross that line. You won't ever, ever cross that line. Might be stubborn, but I know what I want. Does your boyfriend know we were out pretty late? You think that that's alright? You tell him we're just friends, I don't see it that way. I don't wanna take you back home. If you wanna go home, I'll drive. You won't ever, ever cross that line. You won't ever, ever cross that line. No, you won't ever, ever cross that line. You won't ever, ever cross that line. He showed up right around midnight. That was right around the time that I gave up.
Very nice. Woo! Smooth as can be.
I can hear the pedal steel being played.
It's an awesome instrument. You know, I always feel like it's like the heavenly gates open when you hear it, dude. It's like one of those instruments. You're just like, my God, this is just. Wait, that's not what I meant. That's not what I meant. Seriously, could it be any longer?
God, how long is that sample?
It's too.
So where can if let's say somebody wanted to like listen to more of your stuff or check out your website.
Thank you. So the Shades of Jackson album can be found on Spotify, iTunes, all that good stuff. The website, my manager's going to be so glad that you asked this because he's always like, dude,
promote yourself.
He's like, dude, you've got to like be more proactive on Twitter and Instagram. And that's just like so not my nature.
Dude, I hate
but he's always any, but he's right. I mean, the four people that follow me do want to hear that stuff. But my Instagram is C Ray Music. My last name is spelled Wray. So it's Cwray Music. Same thing for Twitter. The website is ChristopherRayMusic.com.
Awesome. And you have been playing with some awesome other artists,
yes,
right? Some indie artists.
Yes.
Tell us about some of the records that you've been playing on.
I played on the last Tenacious D record, some pedal steel on that, awesome. Which was super fun. It was really awesome. Let's see what I'm trying to think. Oh yeah. So one of my favorite artists right now, who I'm just a like super fanboy about is Sun Lux. I'm a gigantic fan of this dude, Ryan Lott. We met at a Nico Muley concert at the Disney Concert Hall. And a couple days later he hit me up and my buddy said, you need to check out this dude's record. It's freaking mind blowing. And I did. And my mind was appropriately blown.
Oh my God.
I seriously, like, I couldn't believe it. And I emailed the guy the next day. I was like, bro, you are like,
you are bad.
You are like a Jedi warrior. You have to teach me.
Right.
We ended up going, he called me like a week later randomly and was like, dude, you want to go snow skiing? And I said, hell yeah, I want to go snow skiing. So the whole time we were on the lifts, we kind of bonded over our love of Jay Dilla and like wonky beats.
Yeah.
And whenever we were on the lift, he said, man, I'm working on this new record called Lanterns and I'd love for you to do some bass work and some pedal, just do your thing on it.
That's awesome.
Yeah, no. And he sent me this track that I freaked out over. I'm so proud to have played on it. And I mean, he's really, he's killing it right now. I think on his EP, he just released like a remix album, like EP, and Lorde did one of his like redid one
That's
of his
incredible.
Songs. It's incredible. Like he's amazing.
He's on the level.
Yeah.
I have a question, and it'll lead to a second question.
Which
would you
leads
like
to another question?
Yeah, which leads to another question, wrapped in an enigma, wrapped in a riddle. Where do you like to, like in LA, where can we catch you playing around town?
I play Hotel Cafe quite a bit. I play Room 5 quite a bit, which sadly I think that venue might be closing down, which really sucks.
Is that on the Strip?
Yeah, Boo is right. It's on La Brea and Beverly.
Okay.
And Hotel Cafe is in Hollywood.
That's on Cahuenga.
Yeah.
I saved you there.
You're like, thanks, I don't know where that is.
Thank you.
The reason I ask is actually before coming to the show, I was in my truck and I was reading that the Strip is now, they're just building hotels. They're going to get rid of a lot of like the old. Yeah. Like, it's, you can kiss the Strip goodbye. Yeah. Like, it's really? Not going to be that music.
Dude, they're taking out the House of Blues. House of Blues, taking out the Whiskey.
It already kind of sucks. Nobody wants to go see a show up there. Yeah. I mean,
I don't.
It's just a process. It's too expensive.
Oh,
it's
just, parking's such a drag. Yeah, and nothing sound. I feel like every show I've gone to see there just doesn't sound that great. In all of those old videos.
Well, it's because you go to the Whiskey and it's just like, oh my. Because all the, really like some of the best sound guys are out on the road with some of the biggest artists.
Yeah, but we have to watch what we say because like now, if those guys are listening.
If that Christopher Ray guy comes,
we are never letting him on our
stage.
They're
like, what? Oh, I'm sorry, your mic went out. Guess you have to go a cappella, bitch.
Sorry, man. I guess we're not doing our job.
Exactly. You got to be careful.
What other records have you been playing on? I know you've got a list of people. Anthony Hamilton.
Yeah, yeah. I'll tell you a project that just came out that I was really proud to be a part of. My buddy Matthew McGaughey just scored this movie called Print the Legend that's on Netflix right now. He approached me and said, man, will you produce this Johnny Cash track? We licensed the master. I'm sorry. We didn't license the master, but we licensed the song and we want you to like redo it. So I said, sure, man, I'd love to. So it was a blast doing the track and got a hold of Matt Berninger from The National and he came in and did the vocal for it. And as you can imagine, just
slayed it.
Oh my gosh.
He's a great singer.
And just an incredible guy too. Really fun to be around. Print the Legend on Netflix. It's really good too. I will say that.
How did you get in touch with like working with James Newton Howard? I know that's like one of your main gigs. How did you, were you playing around? Were you playing music for him? Were you playing with other people?
I really wish it was like that glamorous where I could be like, oh, he heard me and he had to have me.
No. Hey, you can make up whatever you want.
That's like the furthest thing from like how I got plugged in with him. I basically got hired to do basic assistant stuff for him. My buddy Garrett Colton had the gig before I did and he was leaving and he said, I've got this job for this guy and he's great and you would love it and you'd fit right in.
But see, that's a tidbit that a lot of listeners love to hear, that you didn't just, it wasn't just handed to you. You had to work your way up the ranks to get to that, you know, level of respect and professionalism. You know what I mean?
Yeah, well,
it's so good to hear that. It's refreshing, actually.
No, I mean, it just, and Garrett's one of my good buddies, too. I'll just say that there's really, you cannot put a price on relationships, man. And I don't say that. That could be interpreted in a really slimy way. I don't mean that you can't put a value on what you can get.
I'm here
get.
For the gangbang?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well played. Well timed.
Well timed. No, I'm not saying that.
Sorry.
I've been waiting all show to use that one.
Well, you're welcome, then.
That was money.
No, my point that I'm very poorly trying to make is when you invest in people, that you know that's its own reward. And I've got amazing friends out here, and I'm not trying to say that you know be friends with people so you can get awesome
stuff
from it.
But you know what?
But
it's
if
like,
you're a genuine dude and you really care about people, things just tend to work out.
To
for
work
the
out,
best,
and you're ascending. You're just ascending, and you're around people that are also ascending.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a lot of it. You know what I mean?
No. It really does seem like a lot of the people around me are ascending. I mean, all my buddies are really taking off in their careers, and I just want to. I don't know if I can necessarily say that about me, but I'm definitely giving it
a
shot.
You're definitely in the ballpark. You're definitely
thank you, brother.
You're knocking on the door. Before we run out of time, I want to make sure we get to your last performance.
Last tune, okay.
Yeah,
cool.
What are you gonna play for us? You're gonna play another song off Shades of Jackson, right?
I'm gonna play a Shades of Jackson tune, but it's not.
This is the new
this
one.
This is a new one. And this one,
unreleased. We like this.
This is an unreleased secret song.
It's magical.
So yeah, this one is called, I don't even know if I have a name for this yet. I'm trying to think of what I call it whenever we play it live, and I'm kind of blanking, but here we go. At night I close my eyes and I see you when I fall asleep. And I'm so close to what we had and who I used to be. And my heart's on fire and you laugh but you don't make a sound. And then I open my eyes and the fire's burned out and you're not there. When you're young, heavy is the heart when love is over. When you're older, the right gets lighter. I wrote it in a note cause I was too afraid to say the words. We wrote it at the same time, I let you open yours first. We were so young and so innocent, but now I know the truth. Heart may heal, but you're never gonna feel the same way you did in your youth. Oh, when you're young, heavy is the heart when love is over. But when you're older, the weight gets lighter. When you're young, heavy is the heart when love is over. But when you're older, the weight gets lighter.
Very beautiful. Man. Woo! That's a hit right there, man.
I don't know about that, but
dude, that's a killing song.
Thanks,
man.
Dude.
It's one of your best, man.
Thank you, thank you. I, you know, like that song has like a little pedal steel like solo in it, and so I kind of play the abridged version when I'm doing it acoustic.
You should just do acoustic and pedal steel. Look, nothing else, man.
Dude, I'll tell you one of the most awesome stories that I've heard in a long time. I went to go see Ryan Adams. Do we have enough time for me to tell a quick story?
Yeah, come on.
I went to see Ryan Adams at this like Jeff Garland. Like interview talk type thing that he does at Largo, and he has guests come up and they just talk about stuff. And then if the artist or if the guy up there is like a musical dude, he plays a few songs like Ryan did. But man, he told this incredible story that I'm sure like you can find on a podcast. I bet that's podcasted, but he tells a story about Bryan Adams with the B and how he played like the Invictus Festival and he was playing acoustic. And when it came time for the solo, and gosh, I'm murdering the story because I can't remember the name of the song. But he gets to this epic solo part, and he's playing in front of like 300,000 people. You know, like that's like a gigantic festival in Europe. And he's solo acoustic, which is badass in itself that he's doing it solo acoustic. Then he gets to the solo, and instead of him like playing through it, Ryan Adams said that he was like, man, what's he going to do? Is he going to just like sing the solo? Is he going to just like breeze by it, you know, and play the chords? He stops playing acoustic guitar and just starts shredding the solo just on acoustic with nothing backing him up.
Wow. Yeah. That's insane.
Oh, man. He said he was like his level of respect.
You're like, just, I no longer – I want to be Brian Adams.
I wish I had the courage to do that, but I don't. I just end the song.
Well, you and I saw a show once where John Mayer did that where he was playing on electric.
Oh, yeah, we did.
And it's like when guys just do that when they're playing against nothing and the time is
still
there.
Is that when we went to San Diego?
Yeah, man.
Dude, do you know what I remember more than anything other than that trip is you barely being able to keep your eyes open on the drive home.
The drive home.
And you were driving.
I was driving. I was like, there you go. Dude, after a night of long driving, I'm like, man.
I just remember looking at you like, I might not make it home.
Oh, that's so goodness. Funny. Dude, my lead guitarist every now and then, he's like, Nikki, your eyes are closed. I'm like, dude, you got to drive.
Do you remember where we ate dinner that night?
Outback Steakhouse. You're right. I remember that shit. Dude, I remember you were like, yes, Outback Steakhouse. Real quick, there's a really cool instrument in the room. And I want you to talk about that guitar because that is a special guitar.
Yeah, this is one of those stories that makes guitar players hate me. It's a 1942 Gibson Southern Jumbo. It's like the first year that they made the Southern Jumbo. Yep.
Is that a little musician boner?
Yeah, yeah. A little musician boner.
thank you for explaining that, okay. That sound bit. My dad's best friend who played guitar in his high school band,
right.
When he heard that I was trying to learn how to play guitar and I was like 14 or 15 years old, brought that thing over to my house and said, "Hey man, I've got this beater. Why don't you like learn to play guitar?"
Beater? Oh my god!
Well, dude, you have to remember too. I don't really think vintage instruments were cool like in the
90s. Right, right.
I don't know if you know,
they wanted the new. The new.
I don't know if that was as much of a thing as it is now. But anyway, he gave me that guitar. He asked for it back like 4 or 5 years later, and I was like, "Dude, I don't know where it is." And I wasn't lying to him. I really didn't know where it was. And then I came home from LA like 2 or 3 years ago, and I was in the attic, and I found this guitar up in the attic, and I was like, "Oh my gosh." And I pulled it out, and it was just in horrible, horrible shape. Like, it was barely playable. And I texted a picture of it to my luthier, and I said, "Hey, man, should we get this thing set up?
It's stolen, but can I?"
And he was like, "Bro, do you even know what that is?" And I said, "I really don't. I need to research it and look it up." Well, it's a really valuable guitar. So I dumped a bunch of money into getting it set up, and I went home for I think it was for a funeral in Altus, and Timmy, the guitar player, was there, and I said, "Timmy, I got to confess something to you." And he was like, "What's up, bud?" And I said, "You know that guitar you were looking for like 5 years ago? Well, it's worth a fortune, and I have it." I was like, "And I put a little bit of money into it, getting it set back up." And he was just like, "You know what, man?" He's like, "I would never play it. It'd just go under the couch. Like, it's yours, man. You put money into
it." That's amazing.
Oh, wow.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
And you're like, "Let me dry hump you now."
He settled for a hug.
I would have started choking you right after Fortune. Toward the Fortune. "Let me get it back. I need it."
He got shortchanged twice.
Oh, man.
One more time. Tell us your Twitter handles, your websites, all that.
Sure. Instagram and Twitter are CWRAY, CRAYMusic.com. Or no, just CRAYMusic. They don't do .coms on the Instagrams and the and the Twitters. And then the website is ChristopherRayMusic.com. Guys, thank you guys so much for having me on.
Chris, you were such a great guest. We're going to have you back for sure.
Thank
I want
you.
More updates.
I had a blast.
On Shades of Jackson and all the stuff you're doing with James Newton Howard.
Thank you.
The more records you're playing on, you are just an awesome guest.
Thank you sincerely.
Alex, thank you for filling in for Mr. Eddie Pence tonight.
Always a pleasure. As a matter of fact, I'm going to cut Eddie Pence's brake lines sometime this week. I could be the permanent co-host.
Maybe you'll be back next week then. We'll see. Well, thank you so much to all of our listeners. This is Wake Up Hollywood. We'll see you next week.